Hello, and welcome to Simple Man Sermons, the preachings of a simple man called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe the title of today's sermon will be Watching and Waiting. From the mouth of Jesus, these words were spoken about 2,000 years ago. Watch, therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. That's in Matthew 24. Matthew 25, he says, Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now, it may be natural human tendency, but we tend to skip over and fast forward through in our mind the waiting parts of the Bible. We think of Noah as just building a boat, an ark, getting in it, all the animals running in, and then the floods come. Now, it doesn't say in Genesis 6 exactly how long it took for Noah to build the ark. But think about the size of that vessel and how long it must have taken to make it. We think of Noah as being 40 days and 40 nights in the great flood. But if you read that account, that's how many days it rained for, day and night, 40 days. He was in the ark much longer. Obviously, all the days before the flood meant watching and waiting, believing that what God said would come to pass, for he did build the ark. When he was on the ark waiting, when he sent out the raven and then the dove, watching and waiting until that dove came back with the olive branch. Or think of the time that Job spent waiting. Now it says at the end of the book of Job, God blessed the latter days of Job more than the first. There was a time between when he lost his sons and daughters, lost even his health, that he was waiting. David, who slew Goliath, a mighty man of war, a great poet, king of Israel. Well, if you go back and read that account, there was a time where he was anointed king. Yet King Saul was still reigning, and he was on the run, persecuted, hiding in caves, fleeing, in exile with the Philistines. He wasn't just anointed king and then sat on a throne and began to reign. Now, obviously, God knew he was king and he was going to reign, and David was going to reign, but he had to watch and wait. Wait for the time he would reign as king. We think of Moses, mighty man of faith, who, by the mighty hand of God, leads the people out of Egypt. The Red Sea is parted. But let's not forget that Moses spent 40 years and the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness 40 years. So long that all the adults, save Caleb and Joshua, fall in the wilderness, waiting. From the prophecy given after an Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit, close to 4,000 years until the coming of Christ, waiting. And likely you know of all the prophets that prophesied about the coming Messiah. But even from the last prophet to the birth of Jesus, there's something like over 400 years from the last prophet to the birth of Jesus, where God's chosen people were waiting expectantly, watching and waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years. And doubtless many men of faith, many of God's chosen people died in those 400 years waiting for the Messiah. Just like in the days of Noah or in the days of Moses, what God promises will come to pass. The floods did come. The Messiah does come. Jesus does crush Satan under his heel, as prophesied in Genesis. Because we tend to be impatient, we tend to want everything right now. It seems like, especially in today's culture, with smartphones and Amazon ordering and next day shipping. But God doesn't work on your timeline. The world doesn't revolve around you or around me. It revolves around God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. If God creates all things, then God created time. It's before it and after it, the maker of it. So we must trust and have faith, for it is written in the Bible, without faith it is impossible to please God. If you're listening to this, hopefully you know already, is that not the point of life? To follow God, to walk with God, to serve Him, to be with Him, not want to please Him, to have faith. And what does it tell us in the New Testament? Faith is the assurance of things. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Jesus tells us to watch and be ready. Watch and be ready. We read in the Gospel of Matthew. Let's look in the Gospel of Luke. You must be ready also, for the Son of Man is coming at a time when you do not think He will come. So think of the amount of time between promise in Genesis to Jesus, and the hundreds of years between the last prophet prophesying the coming Messiah, the coming of Jesus. Now Jesus spoke those words about 2,000 years ago. And many saints, many of the great men of faith, many saints between now and then have watched their lifetimes on this earth come and go, watching and waiting for His return. For just as God promised in Genesis, and just as all the prophets promised, the Messiah did come. The picture of all those Old Testament sacrifices, the sin offering, all the sacrifices, the picture of those, perfection of those, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, did come. God always keeps His promises. And Jesus says He will return. He is coming back. He is returning. That's what He's talking about. If you go back and read those verses, the passages surrounding them, watch and be ready. He says, watch and be ready. For you don't know. Again, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill, one taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, if you go back and read the preceding verses of that, and it's quite long, but he's talking about the great tribulation. So let us turn to Revelation. Revelation. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent therefore. If you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come to you. James chapter 5. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do you believe God's promises? Do you believe that they will come to pass? More specifically, do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, the Lion and the Lamb? Do you believe? Do you believe He is coming back? Do you believe what He says, like a thief in the night? You don't know when. Are you living your life expectantly waiting, confident that he will fulfill his promise? Are you living your life in such a way that you are expecting at any time for the return of the Son of Man? Do you believe, as it is written, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess before God? Do you believe that day is coming? It may come tomorrow. It may come a year from now. It may come 10,000 years from now. It may come today. Jesus himself says, no one knows the day or the hour. You see all this pagan bullcrap or whatever, you know, the world's going to end in 2012 or the world's going to end in the year 2000. Anybody old enough to remember those will know, obviously. Nobody knows the day or the hour. And it's not your place to know the day or the hour or my place to know the day or the hour. It's our place to do what God tells us to do, to watch and be ready and live a life expecting Jesus to return any day. As it says in that passage we just read, like the farmer waits for the early and the latter rain. Waiting doesn't just mean sitting down and twiddling your thumbs, saying, oh, well, one day there's nothing I can do. I'm just going to hang out and do whatever. The farmer waits patiently for the former and the latter rain. But he's still farming. He's still doing what he's supposed to do. Let us continue reading the Gospel of Matthew, where we were reading before. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who, then, is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. When Jesus comes back, is he going to find you doing what you're supposed to be doing? When the Lion of the tribe of Judah returns, will you be that kind of servant? Let's keep reading. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him a portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It may not be popular in today's culture to talk about hell, to talk about condemnation. Say that when Jesus returns, some men will be saved, and some will be thrown into hell, or they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't care what's popular. That's what Jesus said from his own mouth. Jesus talks plenty of a day of judgment, of a reaping. He talks about hell is real, and he says that some people will go there. I don't care what's popular. Jesus didn't preach what was popular, what everybody liked. If he had, they would have nailed him to a cross. He offended people. But he loved everybody. God's love is infinite. Jesus' love in it is infinite. As it is written, while I was yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the sins of the whole world. But let's not forget that his teachings offended some people, and some people do not accept them then. Some people do not accept them now. It may not be popular, but I don't care. I hope that I love you more than what's popular. I hope I love you the way that Jesus loved you, even though it might offend you. I love you too much to want to see you go to hell, to see you not repent, to see you live in sin. Because I believe, and I hope that you believe, that one day, maybe today, and maybe tomorrow, maybe in 1,000 years, maybe 5 minutes from now, his promise will come true. And what will he find you doing? Living a life expectantly waiting on him, trusting in him, doing the work that you're supposed to be doing, or living a life of sin? Will he say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? Or will he say, cut him in two and appoint him a portion with the hypocrites? There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we continue reading this, and if we remember that chapters and verses are not original to Scripture, they were added in a very recent time. Most of the recording of the Bible and most of the recording of the time since Jesus came, there was no chapter or verses. If you read this, this is all Jesus talking. If we continue on in chapter 25, Jesus says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And he says, he continues with this parable. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his lord's money. After a long time, the lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When, this is continual reading. He doesn't say if, he says when. Continuing on his reading. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he continues in this parable. I encourage you to go and read that. There is a distinction. Just like there's a distinction when he gives the men the talents. He doesn't give them all the same amount. But he expects the men to do the best they can with what they're given. And if they don't do what they're supposed to be doing when he returns, he casts them out with weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not going to water down the gospel. I'm not going to water down, by God's grace, I'll preach truthfully the words of Christ. Which category do you want to be in when Jesus comes back? Do you expect him to fulfill his promise? What if it happened today? Would you be doing what you were asked to be doing? Now, we read Matthew 24 and we went on and read Matthew 25. Now, in between that, there's a parable of the 10 virgins. Some are wise and prepared and some aren't. The ones who are wise and prepared go in, agree with the bridegroom. And the ones who are not wise and prepared are shut out. I encourage you to go read that parable as well. Watch and be ready. What is God calling you to do? Certainly to read the Word of God, to obey Him, to be His servant, to trust in Him. But as for specifics, I don't know you. I hope every day to understand what God wants me to do and to walk that out, to rest in the grace, redemption of the blood of my Savior. God gave each one of the men in that parable a talent or multiple talents. He expects them to be used and multiplied. For to he who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you using the talents that God's given you? Are you living a life expectantly waiting for our Savior, for the return of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as told in Revelation, as told by Jesus Himself in the Gospels? Do you believe in the fulfillment of the prophecies of God? Do you believe in the promises of God? I'm watching and waiting. I want that day to come. But if it doesn't come today or tomorrow, I hope to grow a little stronger and a little wiser in my Christian walk. When I look back at when I was a young Christian, I made many mistakes that, by God's grace, hopefully I don't make anymore. I hope to be using the talents God's given me, watching and waiting, like the farmer patiently waiting for the early and the latter rain, being faithful, using the talents God's given me and multiplying them in the times between. I won't speak for you, but I, by God's grace, am looking forward to the return of the Lion and the Lamb, the Alpha and the Omega, because I believe that promise that He will return. I believe the other promises that He says. Revelation 7. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I believe. I hope in the things not yet seen. Let us look to the end of the Bible. Likely, whatever translation you have, probably the last page or two in your Bible. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And it talks about John talking with an angel. And continuing on, it says, "Worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gate into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters. And whoever loves and practices a lie, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from things which are written in this book. He who testifies of these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The end of the Bible. Watch and be ready.